know he came here to say, if you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. Going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Monday. The NFL Scouting Combine wrapping up in Indianapolis today. Nathan Zagura back with you in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Jason Gibbs alongside me in for Matt Wilhelm. Last day cruising the high seas. We've got a lot to talk about here today. We could talk about the Combine, obviously. What we saw, wide receivers over the weekend put on quite a show. You know, one of our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day is, which receiver do you want the Browns to draft the most? There are guys available to them at 12, 19, even later round guys. Also, with the issues that Justin Gilbert has had and Buster Screen's impending free agency, do the Browns need to make drafting a corner a priority this year? I got my take on that. Also, came out of the Combine, the Rams would apparently listen to offers for Sam Bradford, the Browns being linked to him. Do you think this is the Browns' best option in terms of getting a quarterback? Would you rather have Hoyer or Bradford at quarterback, or would you give Manziel a chance to show what he can do or get Bradford? Let us know. 216-578-0850. I spoke with the Browns head coach Mike Pettine at length at the Combine. We'll have that interview for you at 1:30. Andrew Gribble, the Browns senior staff writer, will give his biggest takeaways from the Combine. And then we will have Pete Prisco from CBS, their senior NFL correspondent. I spoke with him at the Combine, and he wrote an interesting article about Johnny Manziel, saying that it's just absolutely ridiculous that everybody wants to write Johnny Manziel off after only six quarters of action, really, in the NFL. So we'll discuss that article. We'll get to that, and we'll hear from Pete Prisco at 2:15. And then Nick Wagoner from ESPN.com, St. Louis Rams reporter, will talk about Sam Bradford, what he thinks about that. Is it possible to actually get Bradford in a trade for the Browns, etc.? He will talk to us at 2:30. So we've got a lot of stuff for you here on the show. Again, 216-578-0850. Gibbs, how was your weekend?
It was a little crazy, buddy. How the heck are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Happy birthday to your lady.
Yeah, lady had a birthday. My nephew had his second birthday. There was kids, craziness, and I'm happy to be back at work.
Yeah, well, we're certainly happy to have you back.
How long did it take you to get home Saturday from Indy?
It did take a while, though. The weather was not great on the drive home. There was actually an accident. One, actually, at first coming westbound to Indy on the other side, there was an accident involving like five semis that closed the freeway. And then about an hour more into my journey, there was a similar accident on a bridge. There was like semis hanging over. It was crazy. And that closed the freeway. So I had to get off and take some back roads. And it ended up taking me about almost 7:45.
Really?
Yeah, which was... That's not what you want.
That's going to ruin your Saturday pretty good. What time did you finally get on the road? I mean, you saw the quarterbacks, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I didn't get on the road until around 1-ish, and then I was back around at almost 9-ish.
Ugh, no good. So what did you think? Quarterbacks throwing? Was it everything you thought? Did they live up to the hype? What'd you think?
I thought Jameis Winston was very impressive in his podium session, his confidence as well as, and apparently he's crushing it at all the meetings. But I thought he looked so accurate out there. I thought he looked phenomenal. Marcus Mariota looked good. But to me, again, it's always been the case for me that clear-cut number one quarterback was going to be Jameis Winston, and I don't think that changed at all. I thought of the guys, the other quarterbacks, nobody really stood out to me. I was really disappointed with Shane Carden. I thought he had a rough go. Of the other guys, I thought the only ones that looked like anything. I thought Brett Hundley looked pretty good to me and is my number three quarterback this year. Bryce Petty looked okay. Sean Mannion looked okay. Bryce Petty, I think, is more of a project than people realize. Some of those quarterbacks were bad, though, and I hate to pick on some, but the kid that was throwing from Duke, like, I felt like I could have been out there and thrown the ball better.
Again, do you know what Duke football is?
Hey, Ray Farmer, Duke football.
Yeah, that's the precursor to Duke basketball. Well, let's be honest.
It's gotten better, though.
It has gotten a little bit better, but I'm a Duke fan, and Duke football means one thing. We're just right around the corner from Duke basketball.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
You take it for what it is. You know, let's not forget one of the biggest Browns draft busts in history came out of Duke in Mike Junkin.
Well, there you go.
Just saying.
Cherokee Park.
You know. Yeah. Oh, God. That's good and terrible as well.
Yeah, Cherokee Parks. Yeah.
What happened in Indy? Good times, bad times?
Yeah, and it was good times. So I went to St. Elmo's on Saturday night.
How was it?
So, you've heard about the shrimp cocktail. Have you ever had it?
I've never been able to go.
Okay, so it's
never gone.
It's supposedly, I guess, it's the most well-known, I guess, you know, steak place in Indy. And it has this super hot cocktail sauce. And it's basically, the cocktail sauce looks orange because it is so, it's a normal cocktail sauce, but then there's so much horseradish in it. So it's not hot like a habanero hot, but it's that kind of hot that comes through your, it was weird. You could almost smell it inside your head, and it came from the back of your head, through your head, and then out your nostrils and completely cleared your sinus out. But it was almost uncomfortable. And to me, it made me think that maybe, one day a long time ago, they made the shrimp cocktail sauce. They had, a little extra horseradish than they meant. It was a little spicy, and people thought it was good. And now it's just kind of become a caricature of itself. I mean, it's outrageous. Like, people, you just sit there and you watch people eat it around the restaurant. It's hard to enjoy. And I'm not afraid of spicy, but it's a different kind of spice. I ate all mine, but, a lot of people try to just brush every bit of the sauce off because it causes a physical reaction to you.
Can't you just order it without the sauce?
Yeah. So
or
then
is
it
like blasphemy in that place?
It's the only app in the place. That's what they're famous for, is this sauce. One of the guys with us got regular cocktail sauce, which they serve, and they, kind of give you a little bit of grief for it. But it was a little outrageous. It was a little over the top. But then they do have, I'm a big, prime rib is the king of all the meats as far as I'm concerned. So I got a 32-ounce piece of prime rib, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the prime rib. We've had that conversation
before. I know, and you're wrong. We took that to Twitter, and I was right.
I beg to differ.
It's just like Tony Romo is no good.
I will continue to push in my quest for anti-Tony Romo talk.
Yeah, but so the Combine was cool. It's my first time at the Combine. I thought it was interesting.
What was the biggest takeaway? I mean, what did you take away? Not necessarily performance. Like, people can break down the Combine. Like, what the sideshow that is the Combine?
Yeah,
it
is kind of a sideshow. So the media is all kind of in this one hall, basically set up in the concourse, like one area of the concourse at Lucas Oil, and everybody is there. So it, to me, literally everybody who's in the media, every draft expert, every ESPN person, every CBS person, Fox, they're all there in a short area walking around. So you can just grab people for interviews. And we did a lot of those, on clevelandbrowns.com. We'll have some more of them. We played some on Friday here on our air. We'll play some more today as well. It is, it's just a happening now. And Peter King wrote in his Monday Morning Quarterback that right now there are, in 2000, if you took the number of media credentials that there were in 2000, every one of those people who had a media credential then has spawned into 53 other people. So there are 53 more times more media credentials handed out, and they turned away a lot at the Combine now than there were in the year 2000. So when you think about it that way, there's media everywhere. ESPN had their NFL Insider set up right there in this one hallway. CBS had their show set up. Pro Football Talk had their show set up. Fox had their show set up. So everybody is there. I would say there are probably about 18 or so radio shows there as well. So you can just get interviews with people. Everybody's walking around. Coaches and GMs are just walking through all the time. The players walk in and out. And then at night you go out and every bar is just football people. So it's all scouts and coaches and GMs, and you run into everybody from around the league. You see everybody from around the league. You see all the media people. You see all of it every night, everywhere. It's just almost – I've heard the Senior Bowl is worse because it's a smaller area and more concentrated, but it's basically like that. It's as if it's a giant football guy convention in Indianapolis, and everywhere you go, it's only football guys.
It's pretty sweet, man. Did you see any of the big secret meetings at St. Elmo's that go on? Did you get a glimpse into that back room or anything like that?
No, but it was cool. What was cool was, no, but Jerry's bus was out there when we were there, so maybe he had been in the back room. But what was cool about it is every meal that I had at a table around me, agents were talking with GMs. So you could kind of overhear and listen into some of those meetings and see the way the agents would sell their guys, and then the GM would, it's such a funny dance, right? Because the GMs are like, yeah, we like this guy, but we don't like him that much. So they kind of tear the guy down, and then the agents are building the guy up, and it's just kind of a funny thing.
Impressive. And that's, everybody's got a spin on something.
Right. And that's what a lot of it is a lot of the meetings there. You get a lot of opportunities that, to meet with the players. They can meet with 60 players while they're there for 15 minutes a pop. So it's neat. You go into the hotel, and at the bottom floor, every room is a team's room. So it'll be like the Browns, the Patriots, the Rams, and then that's where all the individual player meetings happen. And it's certainly pretty interesting.
Very nice. And everybody goes out at night and gets sauce together.
Yeah, everybody goes out, which is good.
It's a little Festivus.
It's a little Festivus. Yeah, it's just a total, you know, every hotel bar is just full of, you know, you could be with the Raiders GM one night, or I saw Norv Turner out and Mike Zimmer and all the Vikings guys out. I got to talk to Norv, who had been with us, about, you know, our guy Theodore, who he certainly loves, and our other guy Charles Johnson, and he was, you know, talked glowingly about him, said he's by far the best receiver that he's got on his team.
That disappoints me.
A little bit of trolling, I'm sure, from Norv, but yeah. it was a neat experience. And the crazy thing is, when you watch the combine, you're inside Lucas Oil Stadium, but there's really maybe 300 to 500 people in the stands, and it's probably less. It's probably closer to 300, maybe 10 people per team. You know, there just aren't nobody's there, so it's a very quiet thing.
Well, they only allow what, 20 members of the media to actually watch the combine. Like, you guys can't go in and watch the combine. Am I correct on that?
I could, but I had a team credential, so I was able to walk wherever. So I sat in the stands and watched a bunch of the combine.
Okay.
But you could walk around. They couldn't keep you from going. Now, I think you're actually right, though. If you had the black media credential, you could only come in and out the outside door.
I think they only allow 20 members of the actual media to watch the combine.
Well, all the NFL Network guys are sitting where they had their cherry spot, where you could see the field from where they were. Everybody else was off in this corridor where I was. So, you know, all the ESPN people were there. Yeah, they were not watching the combine. You're right about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's you know, and then you just it's so very relaxed. You know, you see it on NFL Network, and there's John Fox sitting in the stands talking and talking on his phone, just chilling out, watching. And then, you know, two sections over is John Elway in his booth, and you're like, I wonder what he's thinking about. You know, it just very, very relaxed, it seems like.
It is very relaxed. It is an interesting environment, and it's neat. And, you know, for the Browns, you know, they had their guys there checking it out. And, you know, Jimmy Haslam was in town for a little bit because he won the Fritz Pollard Award, which was given to the Browns for their diversity in the organization. And it was a big deal, a big kind of honor for Jimmy and Dee. And that was certainly nice to see him down there in Indy. It's just a cool – it's a neat thing, especially because so much of it at nighttime – for a person like me who's a little bit of a football junkie, our coaches and scouts just standing around drinking and talking about players, talking about the guys.
Talking a little analytics.
Yeah, they are talking some analytics. There are those who favor the analytics, but they're talking a lot about, you know, who's doing what, or did you see this time, or did you see that? By the way, did you see the guy Byron Jones today? Broad jumped 12 feet 3 inches, which would have beaten an Olympic record, I was told.
Yeah, what's that all about? Like, some of these guys and their times, whether it's running, whether it's jumping – all of that stuff, I blows my mind how good some of these guys are. But again, what does it mean? What does that mean if I'm looking at an NFL? Can that guy play in the league? What does that stat tell me about him being able to play in the league?
Well, I think it was interesting, and we'll hear from Coach Pettine at 1:30, but when I talked to him, one of the things I asked, I said that. How important is it, are these 40-yard dashes and these times and these numbers, you know, about what does that have to do with playing football? And he said, well, you can't build a team on exceptions. You know, it's a size and speed league, so those things matter. It is difficult to build a team around guys that, you know, don't have the size and speed but just happen to be good football players. Those guys are the exception, not the rule, and you don't want to build your team around exceptions, which I thought was a very, very good point.
Yeah, but here's my problem. So many of these guys now are being coached up to just
so we can
be
talk
successful
about that too
in the combine. Okay. Because I look at it, and you have all these conditioning coaches. You have all these George Whitfields, and taking nothing away from him, but all these guys now, these trainers that are just say, I can get you ready to have success at the combine, and having success at the combine that'll get you drafted in the NFL, and that'll get you drafted high in the NFL.
So it's interesting because when you look at that, and I got to see in the hotel where we were staying, one of the big training facilities that had a lot of the big names there. They, like, Melvin Gordon was in there, Dorial Green Beckham, a lot of big time players. Devin Smith from the Buckeyes was there. They have these, so they had, like, they'd taken this conference room over or dining room over in the hotel, and that's where they were going through the guys training the night before they ran. And yeah, it's a big deal. So agents, when they sign a guy, are not only are they signing a guy, but then they're ending up, you know, putting them through their training, which is probably, you know, 30 grand or whatever it is just for the combine. So when you see a guy who comes out and disappoints at the combine, remember that there is an agent that forked over 30 grand for him to do anything but disappoint. I don't think it's any, clearly not any guarantee of success, but it is certainly a huge part of what goes on at the combine and the training for this and the training to run your 40 and the training to do these drills and excel and the, you know, broad jump training, et cetera, to excel when you go out there and put your numbers, because it can make the difference between a lot of money for you.
But what does the broad jump do?
It's a med- so they did, use that all use in conjunction explosiveness, explosiveness. It's talking about how explosive of an athlete you are.
But again, they're running in their underwear.
It's just talking about how explosive.
How much credit do you take in that? I still look. I watch the combine like everybody else. For some reason, we're all a bunch of losers that love the combine and love watching guys lift weights and run fast and all that stuff. I mean, because. I don't know why, but we all watch it. It is what it is. But how much stock can you take? I've always said, put the guy in pads and let him run the 40. Congratulations, you ran a 4.31 40 for Trey Waynes.
Well, if you go back and put up the graphic of the fastest, you know, 40 times of cornerbacks, none of them are that good. So it doesn't. It obviously isn't a huge deal, but it's just a part of the equation. What I think you're looking for is that somebody that is within the normal parameters. Doesn't mean that they're the fastest or not. You're just trying to make sure you're not looking for somebody who's incredibly slow or stands out in a way that is bad for you.
I guess I heard Tony Grossi mention it earlier this morning on the Really Big Show when he said, look, if you have a great combine, it is very, very difficult for you to drop too far.
Right.
You're not going to drop very far because your pro days are designed for you to succeed.
Right.
And your individual workouts with the teams, yeah, you might fall a little bit, but if you have a good combine, you're good to go. And I can't put that much stock in the combine. I got to see what you can do on the field as well. And I think I take more stock in what you do on the field than what you do at the combine.
I think that that's very true. I think the tape needs to be the meat. This is the combine.
But
is
that the case now in today's NFL? I don't know.
I don't. I think people got away from it, and I think Teddy Bridgewater is the prime example of that.
I would agree.
That is the prime example, and I think that that's going to force people to be, you know, smarter as well and think about that in a more, you know, holistic old school mentality where the tape's got to be the stake. That's the most of what you're trying to do in terms of your evaluation, the actual playing of the game of football and what you see there. All right, when we come back, we will get to your calls, 216-578-0850. Again, the hot topics of the day, Sam Bradford. Do you want him? What would you give up for him? Do you think that he's a solution for the Browns at quarterback? Still to come, Mike Pettine's interview. Also, your thoughts on the combine from this weekend. Nathan Zgura, Jason Gibbs, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.